Imagine someone asks you to, I don't know, quantify love or truth. How would you even start?
Yeah, it sounds almost impossible, right?
Exactly. But today, we're actually diving deep into sources that describe a whole conceptual system designed to do just that. It tries to structure really subjective experiences, emotions, wisdom, and then make that data decentralized and usable.
It's a really fascinating approach. We're looking at, well, basically an operating system for knowledge that's usually seen as purely personal.
An operating system for feelings.
Sort of, yeah. Our mission today is to unpack how this system uses technical standards, really defined ones, to structure what it calls fuzzy knowledge. Think emotional data, things like that, allowing it to be formally measured, shared, maybe even used for AI suggestions.
Right.
Really trying to put rules around things we normally think of as, intangible.
And it's not just abstract talk. The sources have these diagrams, flowcharts. They look like network maps. But instead of mapping servers and IPs, they're mapping concepts, showing how joy or wisdom can be like routed and packaged for sharing.
Exactly. It's quite something.
Okay, so let's start with the basics, the sort of technical foundation. The system seems to pull data from all over the place.
It does. You see references to very specific conceptual domains like FLOV.org, maybe analyticalidealism.com, but also commercial sites like OkCupid.com.
So a real mix,
Yeah.
almost chaotic.
And I think that's intentional. To bring order to that, the sources introduce these two key frameworks, both free apparently, the FUZZY standard and the OMNI service.
FUZZY and OMNI.
Okay. Think of FUZZY as like the universal rulebook for meaning. It
And
defines how you have to label and categorize these abstract concepts so everything can talk to each other.
a common language for fuzzy stuff.
Precisely. And OMNI is more like the network infrastructure or maybe the traffic cop. It manages the sharing, ensures compliance with FUZZY, handles the secure movement of data.
So FUZZY defines love, and OMNI directs the conversation about it.
Got it. You got it. And maybe the most crucial part here, architecturally speaking, is data control, sovereignty.
Ah, important.
Yeah, the data flows through these designated pools. The diagrams show OMNI itself, Love Pool 1, Love Pool 2, but it's the source of the data that dictates the rules.
How so?
Well, the materials are really explicit. Data from, say, a philosophical site like loveforall.com is marked non-shareable, locked down.
Okay.
But data coming via like the OkCupid app 3 example, that's clearly labeled shareable.
So the rules are baked right in from the start. It's like a digital passport for the data.
That's a great way to put it. And this really highlights a core idea. The agreement about sharing, even for subjective data, is part of the tech itself.
What is the data? What are they actually sharing in these packages?
Good question. It's not just raw numbers. The examples show output concepts like wise, which seems to represent philosophical knowledge, or five love lengths, even symbionyms.
Five love lengths, like
Yeah.
the five love languages.
Seems like it, yeah. Which is interesting because it suggests that they're integrating existing psychological frameworks, not just making up new
It
terms.
was sharing structured knowledge about things like love languages or wisdom.
Exactly. The structure itself is the payload. It lets the system understand, for instance, what an act of service actually means within that love context.
Okay, so we know where the data lives and how it moves. Now, the really tricky part, how does this system even attempt to define something like love?
Right, the million-dollar question. It tackles love, or what the sources call FLOEs, by trying to be incredibly exhaustive. It breaks the concept down using what they call key sets,
Now,
five of them.
five key sets for love, what are they?
They are immaterial, rational, emotional, material, and economical.
Hold on. Economical for love.
Yeah.
That sounds cold, like you're turning feelings into a transaction.
It sounds jarring, I know, but I think that's part of the provocation here. The system is aiming for, like, total coverage. So the emotional key set has what you'd expect. Love itself, passionate, informal concepts, standard stuff.
Okay. But the economical one includes things like manufacture, service, gift, exchange.
Service, gift, exchange. Okay, I can maybe see gift and service relating to like acts of service from the love languages.
Exactly. By including economical, the system seems to acknowledge that love isn't just a feeling floating in space. It often involves tangible, even measurable, inputs and outputs. An act of service takes effort. An exchange of vows is, well, an exchange.
Okay. I see the logic now. It's trying to capture everything associated with the concept, not just the warm, fuzzy bits.
Right. It provides data points beyond pure sentiment.
And the sources make a point of comparing this to, say, looking up love in a dictionary.
Yeah, they contrast it directly. A standard source, like Wikipedia or a legal dictionary, gives you one definition. Maybe a long one, but it's singular, often centrally controlled, authoritative.
Right.
But the category they call Jomny Love in this system works differently. It offers multiple definitions. And these definitions are deliberately enriched by pulling from various sources, and they're explicitly marked as free.
Ah, so it's leaning into the fuzziness. If something's complex, you need more perspectives, not fewer.
That's the decentralized idea, yeah. You crowdsource meaning, synthesize it, rather than relying on one single authority. It embraces the ambiguity.
And then they visualize it, too. I saw something called Simple X Love.
Mm-hmm. That seems to be a tool for organizing the concept once it's defined. It uses things like ranks, matches, acts, synonyms, antonyms.
So more structure, reinforcing the idea that love in this system can be broken down into measurable, quantifiable metrics.
Exactly. Metrics that can then be shared and analyzed across those pools we talked about.
All right. So we've got the ingredients, these detailed, multifaceted definitions. How does the system actually label a specific subjective experience? This gets into their core model, right?
Yes, the fundamental conceptual model for defining any objectification within this system, it boils down to a two-axis approach, a priori perspective and a posteriori rating.
A priori perspective, a posteriori rating. Okay, break that down a bit. Sounds academic.
It does, but think of it like this. Perspective is the initial viewpoint you take before you really engage with the object. Rating is the evaluation you make after you've experienced it.
So how I look at it first versus how I judge it afterwards.
Pretty much. And this two-part label, this relational definition, replaces the need for a single, maybe hierarchical description. It's about the relationship between the viewpoint and the evaluation.
Okay. The sources give some pretty wild examples of this, don't they? This is where it got really interesting for me.
Oh, yeah. The examples are fantastic because they deliberately cross domains in unexpected ways.
Right. Like the neuroscience one.
Exactly. Under neuroscience, popular, they cite a framework called strong confluentism. And it recommends that for the object neck, you should use the heart perspective and assign it a tasty rating.
Wait. Heart perspective. Tasty rating. For a neck, that's bizarrely specific and kind of poetic.
It is. And unsettling, like you said, but it perfectly illustrates the framework's flexibility. It's basically saying, in this specific context, to understand neck, start with an emotional viewpoint, heart, and evaluate it based on a sensory, almost primal experience. Tasty.
So it forces connections you wouldn't normally make.
Precisely. It's less about describing the neck anatomically and more about defining its relational meaning within that framework.
Okay. And the philosophy example was just as mind-bending, the and/or description of philosophy.
Uh-huh. It says, for the object lovely truth, you need a touch perspective and a visual rating.
Touch perspective for truth. Visual rating. How does that even...
Again, it's pushing away from simple description towards, like, a methodological interaction. To grasp the lovely truth in this context, you have to approach it first through a lens of something grounded, tangible, touch, but then evaluate it using a more abstract sensory metric. Visual. It defines concepts by how you interact with them.
Wow. It's really about creating these relational data points, isn't it?
Exactly. And then, just to show it can handle anything, they throw in the self-referential one.
Ah, the love object.
Yeah. Which uses a lovely perspective and a lovely rating.
The redundant challenge, they called it.
Right. Showing the system can handle simple tautologies, too. Love is defined by loveliness. So whether it's complex cross-domain mapping or something self-evident, this dual-axis framework lets them formally structure and quantify subjective experience. So once you have these objects defined and rated using that perspective rating system, the data flows into an interaction model. And here, the sources show a clear split. There's user input, which they call bottom-up, and system output labeled top-down.
Okay, bottom-up is the user. What do we do?
The user process, labeled U in the charts, starts with really fundamental actions. See, browse, R-E-L-A-T, which seems to mean apply that perspective rating and then explain.
Right, so that's us feeding our subjective take into the system. Our perspective, our rating, our description. What happens then?
That raw input goes up and then the top-down part kicks in. This is labeled as the AI function. It takes all that user input and generates structured outputs.
Like what?
Things like summary, suggestion, and even a reward. It seems tied to positive reinforcement.
Ah, So the system isn't just a passive database. It's actively analyzing and responding, giving feedback based on how you classify your experience.
Exactly. It's interactive, guided.
And there's one final user action mentioned, prescribe. That sounds important.
It seems critical, yeah. It's positioned as the ultimate step in the user loop, moving beyond just interacting or explaining.
And what does prescribe lead to?
According to the flowcharts, it results in one of three concrete outputs.
Okay.
A fact, an ACT, or an offer.
Fact, act, offer. Okay, that sounds very actionable.
Highly utilitarian, I'd say. This looks like the system's payoff. Because your subjective input was structured so rigorously using perspective and rating, the AI can translate it into something concrete.
So it turns your feeling or rating into a verifiable truth or a suggested action.
Seems like it. A fact could be a derived piece of knowledge. An ACT lines up nicely with things like acts of service we discussed earlier, recommended behavior. And an offer could be, well, an opportunity or proposal generated from the data.
It's bridging the gap between subjective understanding and real-world action.
That seems to be the goal. Actionable knowledge derived from structured subjectivity.
And finally, storing and sharing this, it loops back to the beginning, the decentralized part.
Absolutely. The user gets choices. You can save data just on your device, keep it private, or you can share it.
How?
Through standard ways like email or social networks, but also through these specialized channels mentioned. Custom routes, sharing with distributed peers, or feeding it back into those decentralized pools like Omni or the Love pools.
Maintaining control, but also contributing back to the collective knowledge pool if you choose.
Exactly. It closes the loop, connecting individual subjective input back to the shared, structured, decentralized knowledge base. #@.
Wow. Okay, that was quite a deep dive. We've gone from the philosophical challenge of defining love all the way to technical standards like the FuZZY framework and the OMNI service trying to manage it.
It really is a mind-bending concept.
Yeah.
Applying rigorous, almost technical structure to the most, well, human parts of our experience or personal philosophies or relationships or sense of truth.
Yeah.
And the sources really push this provocative idea. If you can standardize subjective data using these relational labels, their perspective and rating thing, you enable entirely new ways for systems, even AI, to interact with it.
Turning lovely truth into data points with a perspective and a rating.
Right. It moves knowledge beyond just being described towards something that can drive guided, maybe even measurable action.
And that really leaves us and you listening with a pretty profound question to chew on, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If a system like this actually works, if it can successfully categorize, say, the acts of service related to your relationships and then use AI to give you tailored suggestions, what does that do to our own intuition? Our spontaneity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the edge. If the top-down AI gives you the quote-unquote perfect suggestion or reward based on how you rated your most personal feelings, are you still genuinely acting from the heart, or are you just executing an optimized data point? What happens when philosophy is categorized and love is measured quite this literally?
Definitely something to think about.
Indeed. Something to ponder until next time.